Radio Cayman Evening News. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Triselda Dixon Grant is charged with causing a child to overstay in the Cayman Islands. She appeared in Summary Court on Tuesday, where she was granted unconditional bail to return to court on the 27th of January. No pleas have yet been entered in the matter. Anaya Stewart has been charged with smuggling prohibited items into HMP Northward. She appeared in Summary Court earlier this week, where it was heard that she was caught with the items while visiting inmate Devon Emmanuel Wright, Jr. Mr. Wright remains in custody facing charges over the 2023 abduction and murder of toddler Alisady Powell in Cayman Brac and is set to stand trial later this year. The court was also told that Ms. Stewart faces a further charge following her arrest on Monday night, though as of her Tuesday appearance, that charge had not yet been formally filed with the courthouse. Chief Magistrate Angeline Hernandez granted Ms. Stewart bail, with conditions requiring her to reside at a Bodentown address and prohibiting any contact with Mr. Wright. She's scheduled to return to court on the 27th of January. Terry Hudson has pleaded not guilty to a 2025 charge of causing fear or provocation of violence arising from a domestic dispute in Bodentown. It's alleged that during the dispute, Mr. Hudson used threatening or abusive language towards a woman, causing her to believe that unlawful violence might be used against her. He's scheduled to stand trial on the 25th of March with two civilian witnesses and a police officer expected to give evidence. Until then, he remains on bail under the condition that he has no contact with the complainant. There's a big change coming this year, and work is underway to make sure the transition is as smooth as possible.
The next 6 months, I have still a lot of work to get done, still a lot of a few more things to tick off, but it's just really preparing the service for my departure.
Deputy Governor, the Honorable Franz Manderson, is retiring on the 7th of July after stepping into the role in 2012.
It's coming. It's happening. A lot of people says, you know, can I call somebody else DG? And I'm like, yes, you can. You know, it'll take a while, but yes, you can. So if you think about the risk to the organization, one of the major risks is change at the top.
Mr. Manderson says he's laying out plans now to mitigate against those risks and is ensuring civil servants that the next DG will, quote, continue to advocate for all staff members. He formally notified the governor and cabinet of his decision to retire in August last year. Mr. Manderson also directly shared the news with all civil servants in a written memorandum. Radio Cayman News. MRCU is taking mosquito control to new heights with a heavy lift drone that can reach places planes and trucks can't. Radio Cayman's April Cummings went into the field to see how the new technology works and what it means for residents.
On a sunny canal side field at Kamana Bay's Festival Green, MRCU crews and visiting experts are huddling over laptops, gearing up for the next round of drone calibration.
So right now we are recording the weight of the granulars that we collected at each station.
Deputy Director of Research and Ground Operations for MRCU, Chris New, explains it's about making sure the right amount of mosquito-fighting product falls in the right places.
We've got these buckets set out here to collect product. We'll fly right over the top of these buckets and then count the granules by weight that fall in each bucket. And then we can use that to determine what we call an effective swath width. We may get product a lot further than that, but we're trying to get a consistent application rate within a certain target area. So this way, this just lets us, you know, measure and validate that what we're doing is what we think we're doing when we apply product.
He says MRCU's drone is a game changer when it comes to reaching some tricky mosquito breeding sites.
Now we've got this large application drone that allows us to apply product in a more precise way in certain areas that we may not have been able to treat before because, you know, mangrove habitat are just inaccessible by ground application. So this is going to allow us to treat areas that we may not have been able to treat prior.
With that precision comes a strong emphasis on safety and training. Each flight starts with a full checklist and a walk around to make sure that every propeller, battery, and component is ready to go before the drone ever leaves the ground. Disease Prevention Officer and drone pilot Andre Yates.
Unload the drone. We survey and scan the area for any obstructions or any issues, persons in the area. After that, we pull the drone out, we set it up, do the checklist on it, and then we're pretty much ready to fly afterwards.
What's it like doing this?
It's exciting, but it can also be, how do I say this? You can kind of get a little scared with it sometimes because nature and weather can be unpredictable. And as with anything in aviation, you're flying a craft and it can come down if, you know, conditions aren't correct. Otherwise, overall though, it's a really new, it's interesting, and it's an innovation in technology. A lot more people need to see.
Fellow operator and disease prevention officer Damian Campbell agrees.
And what's it like for you being part of all this?
Excited, new, something adventurous as well as going out, getting different experiences as well. And it's a thing that you can elevate and learn, and it can give you a new role as well. So I'm really excited about that too.
Excited, but definitely earning their pay. MRCU's drone pilots complete pesticide applicator training, aerial application licensing, local drone instruction, and even overseas certification before they log serious hours on the controller. And all that effort is aimed at one thing, fewer mosquitoes. April Cummings, Radio K-Man News.
Thank you, April. Conservation plans are in the works as government continues to protect critical native species. Radio K-Man's Carsley Fuller reports.
There are three biggies that are just about complete.
The colonial nesting seabirds plan needs to go back to cabinet. This is something that has been going back and forth for a while. It's a difficult plan because it involves inevitably some critical habitat.
Department of Environment Terrestrial Research Manager Fred Burton says most of this area is on public land, but for the brown boobies in the brack, they do nest around the edges of the cliff on private property.
It just needs some little guardrails around certain things. And as soon as you start talking about any kind of guardrails on use of private property, it becomes controversial.
That plan is currently being, quote, packaged for submission to the ministry and ultimately cabinet. There are two other plans in, quote, advanced draft form, one for blue iguanas and one for Old George.
The Old George one is all about the ironwood forest. There are densities of protected plants in the middle of the ironwood forest that are so incredibly dense that it's hard to see how, under any circumstances, those parcels could be developed. The blue iguanas are the other way around. There's huge areas of East End where iguanas occur at low densities. And just like the seabirds, there's no reason that blue iguanas and humans can't share space.
The main threats for blue iguanas in human-occupied areas are fast-moving cars and pets. Mr. Burton told members of the National Conservation Council the DOE has drafted the Iguana Conservation Plan with the idea of a, quote, very broad critical habitat with extremely light rules. Those plans are expected to come before the NCC for consideration in the early part of this year. In the meantime, background work is being done for other potential conservation plans for certain types of land crabs, sister island rock iguanas, additional single island endemic plants, and Cayman parrots. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
You can find the full update on the Department of Environment's YouTube channel. The Caribbean Examination Council is rolling out its January SCEC exam sitting on screens across the region. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles tells us more.
The Caribbean Examinations Council understands its assignment for the people of the Caribbean.
Dr. Wayne Wesley, CEO and Registrar of CXC. In a press briefing this week, CXC says more than 10,000 candidates across the Caribbean are now sitting the January CSEC exams, which run until the 29th of this month, on screen as part of the start of a full digital shift.
We are pleased to say that we are administering these January examinations, employing our digital e-assessment and hybrid e-assessment approaches. It is our intention to offer all examinations digitally in the next 3 to 5 years.
Wesley says the January sitting is just the start of a packed exam calendar.
Immediately after this January session of examinations, we will start preparing to serve the over 100,000 candidates with likewise certainty and confidence will sit over 600,000 CSEC and CAPE subject entries in the traditional May-June examinations.
Dr. Wesley says the work never stops at CXC as the council pushes with its long-term plan to take all regional exams fully on screen. For families across Cayman and the region, it means more of the big regional exams will be written digitally as CXC accelerates its push to go fully so. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Finally, the Chamber of Commerce members met on Tuesday to discuss draft ICT consumer protection regulation. The session with the Utility Regulation and Competition Office, OFREG, gave members a new opportunity to hear directly from the regulator about the new integrated framework built around 8 core aspects, covering things like contracts, billing, service quality, and complaints. The Chamber says discussions highlighted how these draft regulations could apply not only to residential consumers, but also to small and micro businesses and not-for-profit organizations. There's still time to weigh in yourself. You can head over to ofreg.ky/consultation for more information. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevi Ebanks from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. Have a good evening.